And I ask that you just give me the clarity of mind to be able to say the things you'd have me to say, and that we could leave here this morning learning and understanding more about your scriptures. Father, we love you. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Mark chapter number 13, and keep your finger there in Mark 13, but I ask you to go with me real quickly to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, towards the right in your New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. And if you can find the books that all start with a T, you got 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, all in one bunch there. And I'd like you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Now last Sunday night, we began a series on end times prophecy. And last Sunday night, I gave you a real quick review. We went through a lot of scripture and just kind of plotted out a rough outline for you in regards to the what the timeline of Bible prophecy. And last Sunday night, we hit hard the subject of the pre-tribulation rapture. Most Christians today, and most Baptists today, and yes, even most independent fundamental Baptists today, believe in what's referred to as the pre-tribulation rapture. What that means is that they believe that we will get raptured, we will get caught up, we will go meet the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be taken out of this earth pre the tribulation, or before the tribulation. And last week, we proved from the Bible how that just doesn't match Scripture. The Bible says after the tribulation of those days, and then it gives us the idea there of the rapture. Now, one of the reasons, and I want to focus tonight on the subject of the tribulation. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the tribulation. And tonight is kind of a segue. We have to go from last week's sermon of just the outline and understand the tribulation. Because next week we're going to be talking about the Antichrist. And you got to understand the tribulation to be able to really understand the Antichrist and the whole philosophy there. But one of the reasons I want you to get this. One of the reasons that Christians today believe in the pre-tribulation rapture is because of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And look at verse number 9 real quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 9. If you tell a pre-tribulation person that you don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, they might take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 9. And they'll say, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if they read that verse to me, I would say, amen. I'm not against that verse. The Bible says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." And they'll say, "See, there's no way that Christians could go through the tribulation because God hath not appointed us to wrath. So God is not going to pour out His wrath on His own people. So of course, He's going to, you know, rapture His believers out before the tribulation." Now here's the thing. We do not believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. But if you want to get real specific, you know, give you a Bible college lesson here. What we believe in is the post-tribulation. You know what I mean by the word post? After, not pre. The post-tribulation pre-wrath rapture. I agree. God will not pour out His wrath. And look, we're gonna have a sermon tonight on the tribulation. Next Sunday night, we'll have a sermon on the Antichrist. After that, we'll have a sermon on the rapture. And we'll be dealing with subjects as the rapture, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the secret rapture, and we're really going to get into that. After that, we're going to have a sermon on the wrath of God. So, we believe in the wrath of God. We do not believe that Christians will go through the wrath of God. But the problem is this. Christianity today has given the wrong definition to the word tribulation. They see the word tribulation and they consider the tribulation as the wrath of God. So they say the tribulation is the wrath of God, so therefore Christians cannot go through the tribulation, so they must be raptured up. Now here's the thing. If someone said to me the tribulation is equals the wrath of God, the question I would ask is, who taught you that? Did you get that from the Bible? Because I can open up a Bible dictionary, or I can open up a book by Tim LaHaye, or I can open up a book by, you know, the Hagee guy or whatever, and look up the definition of tribulation, and they're going to say the wrath of God, therefore Christians cannot go through it, and they must be raptured out. But I've got to ask you a question. Did you get that definition from the Bible? Because let me give you a lesson on studying Scripture. Whenever you want to look the definition of a word, when you don't understand, and we're talking about Bible, I mean, if you're just looking up the definition of a word because you just don't, you know, you want to figure out how to express it, well, you know, use a dictionary, it's fine. But if you're looking at Bible doctrine, and you say, what does tribulation mean? The best way to figure out what words mean in the Bible, I'm telling you right now, this is how you do it. You look up every reference that uses that the word tribulation. You allow the dictionary, you allow the Bible to be its own dictionary. I don't get my terminology from, you know, John Hagee. I don't get my terminology from Kirk Cameron. I don't get my terminology from, what's that Australian guy Kirk Cameron likes to hang out with? What's his name? Ray Comfort. I don't get my terminology from those guys. I get my terminology from the Word of God. So, just by way of introduction, right now I want to give you a biblical definition, not a theological definition, but a biblical definition of the word tribulation. You say, how do we find out what the Bible means by the word tribulation? You look it up in the Bible. Now, just real quickly, we're going to look at a lot of Bibles. You're going to have to go quickly with me. If you're not quick with your Bible, then just sit back and let me read for you. I'm reading out of the King James. You don't have to worry. But if you're quick with your draw, go to Matthew chapter number 13. Real quickly, let's go. Because we got to do this fast, because we got other things to look at. Matthew chapter number 13. Now the Bible teaches, Matthew chapter number 13 is the first time we find the subject or the word tribulation in the New Testament. The word tribulation is found in the New Testament 21 times. The first time we find it in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter number 13. Now the Bible, theologians and scholars have given this terminology, but the Bible is considered the law of first mention. Say, what's the law of first mention? The law of first mention is that the first time a word is mentioned in the Bible, usually God defines that word for us, the first time. And if you look at tribulation, if you look at Matthew chapter number 13, look at verse number 20. Now you got to understand, Matthew 13 is a passage dealing with the parable of the sower. Do you remember that parable, the parable of the sower? Where he said, you know, look at verse 4. It says, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came. And he talks about how some seed fell by the wayside, some seed fell on stony places, some seed fell among thorns, some seed fell on good ground. Do you remember that parable? Look at verse number 20, Matthew chapter number 13. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says in verse 20, but he that received the seed. Now the seed represents the Word of God. Do you remember that? Remember how it says in First Peter, being born again not of incorruptible seed, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The seed is the word of God. That's what it represents. It says, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word. So this person heard the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. So he heard the word and he received it, right? Yet hath he no root in himself. Now here's the thing. This person heard the word, they received the word. You know what that means? They got saved. Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you receive the word of God, you get saved. This person got saved. And I can prove it to you from other passages. I don't have time to go there. You can look it up yourself in parallel passages. But it says, this person got saved. Look at verse 21. Yet hath he no root in himself. So this is a saved individual, but they're not rooted. They're not strong in their faith. They don't really know what they believe. They don't really know what they stand for. Look what it says. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when, notice this word, first time we find it in the New Testament, when tribulation, you see that? Now, make note of this, or, do you see that word or there? Or, when you see the word or in English, in the English language, that word indicates an alternative to the prior word. So he says, when he has tribulation, or, and he says the next word, can be used in substitution to this word. Why does God do that? He puts two words side by side to give us a definition. That's what he's doing. Do you understand that? He said, look at verse 21. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth, or he endureth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. You see that? So what's the definition of the word tribulation according to Matthew 13? It's persecution. Okay? And I've got to ask this question. Who's being persecuted? Who's going through the tribulation? It's a believer. It's he that received the word, and anon with joy It says, but he receiveth the word in the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, endureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and by he is offended. Who's offended? The guy that received the word. A Christian. Do you understand that? Go with me to Matthew. John chapter number 16. Now look. The word tribulation in the New Testament is found 21 times. We just saw the first time. And I just want to make something real clear. Who was going through tribulation in the first mention in the Bible? A believer. The stony ground believer. And what did the Bible define the word tribulation as? Or persecution, right? The second time you find, you know, I'm going to read it for you, okay? The second time you find the word tribulation is in the end times prophecy, Matthew 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That's the word tribulation we're trying to define. The third time you find it in the New Testament is again in end times prophecy, Matthew 24, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, for the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The fourth time you find the word tribulation in the New Testament is again in end times prophecy, the Olivet Discourse, what we were studying last week. Mark 13:24. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. I didn't have you turn to those three passages because that's the word tribulation we're trying to define, right? We're trying to define what is the tribulation in end times prophecy. Well, we're going to define the word by looking at the word tribulation throughout the New Testament. So we didn't look at those three because that's the word we're trying to define. Are you in John 16? Look at verse 33. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 16. Look at verse number 33. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, okay? He says, these things have I spoken unto you. Do you see that? Who's he speaking to?
Christians.
This is Jesus. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, in the fifth mention of the word tribulation, who's going to tribulation? Christians. You see that? Jesus said, ye shall have tribulation. Go to Acts chapter number 14. Look at verse number 22. You got to do it quickly. I don't want to spend my whole time doing this. So, let's do it fast. Acts chapter number 14. Look at verse 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 14. Look at verse 22. Acts chapter number 14, look at verse 22. It is talking about the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys. It says he's coming back through his journey there, and he's going through and he's confirming, look what it says, Acts chapter number 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples. Who are the disciples? Does that sound like unbelievers? Those are Christians. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them, exhorting who? The disciples. To continue in faith, right? Because that's how they got saved. And that we, who's the we there? Paul, the disciples, the believers. That we, through much, what? Tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Do you see that? So we're at the sixth mention of the word tribulation. And who's going through tribulation then? And what is he talking about tribulation? He's talking about persecution, right? Go to Romans chapter number 2. Look at verse number 8. Romans chapter number 2. Look at verse 8. Romans 2:8, the Bible says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. Okay, so who are we talking about? People who are contentious. What's the word contentious? It's somebody who's really angry all the time. They're always in a bad mood. It's really hard to get them upset. It says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. So these are people, they don't obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. So they don't obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. These are people who are contentious. They don't obey the truth. They obey unrighteousness. They obey indignation. They obey wrath. Does that sound like a believer? No. Right? Look at verse 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, of the Gentile. So in Romans chapter number 6, I'm sorry, Romans chapter number 2, we find the first time in Scripture that tribulation is associated with an unbeliever. You see that? Okay, so we looked at Matthew 13 and it was believers. We looked at Matthew 24 two times, Mark 13 once, and we don't know. We're trying to figure that out. John 16, it's believers. Acts 14, it's believers. Roman, it's anyone. It's just people that are bad people. But I want you to notice something. Do you see tribulation? Look at verse number 9. Tribulation, and anguish. Do you see the word and there? The word and is used to indicate a connection or an addition. So that serves as further definition. So it was tribulation or persecution, right? Now it's tribulation and anguish. Do you see how we're getting a definition for the word? Go to Romans chapter number 5, look at verse 1. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, does that sound like a believer or an unbeliever? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we, who's the we there? The ones that have been justified by faith. And we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Do you see that? There we find the in Romans chapter number 5, there we find the 8th and 9th mention of tribulation. And I got to ask a question, who's going through tribulation?
Christians.
Therefore, being justified by faith. We're going through the tribulation. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse 35. Now look, I'm not telling you that every single one of these is the end times great tribulation. What I'm trying to explain to you is that the word tribulation just means this, persecution. And guess what? Who's gone through persecution their whole life? Christians. Believers. You're there in Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse number 35. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is that unbelievers? That's Christians, right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or that indicates an alternative, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Who's going through that tribulation? Believers. Go to Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse number 12. You say, Pastor, we get the point. Why are you making... I'm going to show you every single one of them. You know why? Because somebody's going to say, well, you just skipped the one. No, I didn't. Because we're going to look at all of them. And if it's there, then it should be there, right? If tribulation means the wrath of God, then shouldn't the Bible tell us that? Romans chapter number 12, look at verse number 12. Romans chapter number 12 and verse 12, look what it says. Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Is that unbelievers? I don't think so. That's Christians, right? Who's rejoicing in hope? What hope? The hope of our salvation. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So who's going? So look, where are we? This is the 11th mention of tribulation. And every single one of them, have you noticed, has been believers going through them, except one so far, right? Are you with me? Am I losing you? 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Go past 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 3. The sooner we get to this, we can get to something a little more interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I just got to lay this foundation. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our what? Tribulation. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any, notice this word, trouble. Do you see that? We find another word that defines the word tribulation for us. Trouble. See the same root words there. T-R-I-T-R-O. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves comforted God. Do you see that? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Who's going through that tribulation, by the way? The Apostle Paul is. Is he a believer? Of course he is. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Look at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Look at verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. That's the Apostle Paul speaking. Who's going through that tribulation? A believer. Ephesians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 13. Get there quickly. Ephesians chapter number 3. Look at the 14th mention of the word tribulation. Ephesians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation. Who's talking? The Apostle Paul. Is he a believer? For you, which is your glory. So who's going through that one? Believers. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse 4. We'll look at the 15th mention of the word tribulation. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at verse 4. We'll look at the 16th mention of the word tribulation. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches. Are those believers? In the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions. Do you see that? And tribulations that ye endure. Do you see that? Who's going through that tribulation? Believers. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now hold on a second. He's talking to believers, and he's saying that God is going to recompense tribulation to them that trouble them. So who's tribulation referring to there? Unsaved believers. Let me tell you something. We've gone through the 17 references in the New Testament. All of them have applied to believers except two, right? Look, I'm not lying to you. Do you notice I'm taking you to every verse here? I don't have an agenda. I don't have a CD I'm selling. I don't have a book I'm selling. Go to Revelation chapter number 1. Now hold on a second. The word tribulation simply means persecution. It means trouble. It means anguish. It means people trying to hurt you. People trying to stop you. People trying to kill you. Now all throughout the Bible, God used that reference to identify when people were going through hard times. He said, you're going through tribulation. And the overwhelming majority was what? Believers. And only two references we found that was referring to unbelievers, right? Well, when you get to Revelation, because look, all the pre-tribulation rapture people, what do they say? Tribulation is the wrath of God. So we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture because God's going to not pour out His wrath on believers, right? Am I lying to you? Does anybody feel like I'm trying to, trick you? I took you to 1 Thessalonians, right? Where it says that God will not pour out His wrath on us. The pre-tribulation rapture people say, see, God won't pour out His wrath. The tribulation is the wrath of God. So therefore, God must rapture us before the tribulation. But we've gone through the entire New Testament and we haven't found one definition of tribulation meaning the wrath of God. In fact, what we found is this. The word tribulation means persecution. The word tribulation means anguish. The word tribulation means people are trying to hurt you. Let's look at it in Revelation. Because surely in the book of Revelation, right? Revelation is about prophecy, right? In the book of Revelation, surely there is where it's going to define for us tribulation as the wrath, right? Let's look at it. Revelation chapter number 1, look at verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother. Now this is the Apostle John. This is the man who wrote the gospel according to John. This is the man who wrote the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And this is also the man who wrote the book of Revelation. Is that an unbeliever? I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in what? Tribulation. In the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the hour that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay. I guess that one's not believers. Let's go to Revelation chapter number 2. Look at verse 9. Revelation chapter number 2, verse 9. Revelation chapter number 2, the Bible is speaking to us about, let's begin reading at verse number 8 actually. Look at Revelation chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, okay? Smyrna's a city. He's referring to the church in Smyrna. These are believers, right? He says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things, save the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and what? Tribulation. Who's going through tribulation? The church in Smyrna. Are those believers or unbelievers? Those are believers. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews or not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things, for thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Notice that's close to the word trib. Okay, it's the same word. That ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of what? Life. Didn't we preach about that this morning? Who's going through that tribulation? Oh, that's the wrath of God being poured out on unbelievers. Is that what it says? It's a church. Go to Revelation chapter number 2. Look at verse number 19. Revelation chapter number 2. Look at verse 19. Actually, look at verse 18. It says, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira. So now we're speaking to another church in another city. Write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. He's talking to a church here. He says, I've got a few things against thee. What do I have against thee? Because thou sufferest. That word sufferest there means allow. He says, thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. That's a woman preacher. He says, you're allowing that woman preacher, that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. Look what it says. What are you allowing her to do? To teach and to seduce my servants. To commit fornication. And to eat things sacrificed unto idols. That's a big issue, right? And God says, look, church in Thyatira, I got an issue with you. What's the issue, God? Well, you've got some woman preacher and you're allowing her to seduce my servants. Now notice, my servants. Who? Those are his servants. Those are believers. But they're doing something bad, right? Look at verse 21. And I, this is Jesus Christ, gave her, this is Jezebel, space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her. Who's the them that are committing adultery with her? His servants, right? Christians, believers. They're sinning, but they're his servants. And them that commit adultery with her into great, what? Tribulation. Except they repent of their deeds. Look, we've looked at the first 21 times the New Testament uses the word tribulation. And every single time it's been believers going through tribulation. Only twice has it been unbelievers or just a general statement towards man. There's one more though. One more time, the Bible, the book of Revelation, uses the word tribulation. Go to Revelation chapter number 7. Now surely this is it, right? I mean, surely this is the passage that finally explains to us that the tribulation is the wrath of God. Because all the major preachers on TVN, they believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. A pastor, all these pastors that got these Bible colleges and they've got auditoriums with 3,000 people in them, they all believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. So surely it should be in the Bible, right? Look at Revelation chapter number 7. We dealt with this last week. Look what it says. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. Do you remember what this was? This is the rapture. The angels are coming down, and they're getting ready to bring out the elect. Look at verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Remember, that's 144,000. I'm not going to waste my time with that. We talked about it last week. Skip down to verse number 9. They sealed 144,000. The 144,000 are staying on earth. They're not going to heaven. I don't care what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. Look at verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. This is the rapture, my friend. The angels came down. This is John is in heaven, remember? We're getting a view from heaven. And John says, I saw the angels go down. And when they came back with a whole lot of people. And they were a great multitude, which no man could number. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That sure sounds like the rapture, liver sent. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders of the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, this is John speaking. He says, one of the elders, they asked me a question. What's the question? What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? That word whence there means where did they come from? So John, he sees the angels go down. They come up and there's this huge multitude that no man could number. Every kindred, every tongue, every nation. Are dressed in white robe and they're just worshiping God. And one of the elders says, hey John, who are these people? Where did they come from? Look at verse 14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He's like, you know who they are. And he said, he's like, yeah, I do know. I was just going to tell you. He said to me, these are they which came out of great what? Tribulation. Who are those people? Are those unbelievers? Look, I just showed you every time the Bible uses the word tribulation in the New Testament. Did I miss it? Did I miss the wrath? Where was it? You said, well, why do all these pastors... I'll show you exactly why all these pastors are wrong on their doctrine. Because they're not reading their Bibles. That's the problem. They're going to some dictionary, or they're going to some encyclopedia, or they're going to some commentary, and they're listening to them. See, the problem is when a Pentecostal preacher goes to a Baptist preacher goes to a Pentecostal to get his doctrine. Why would I get my doctrine from a tongue-speaking, barking like a dog, drooling like an idiot Pentecostal? You say, I don't think you should say that. Look, Pentecostals aren't saved. Let me just make that real clear. They believe in work salvation. And when the Baptist goes to the Pentecostal, when the Baptist goes to John Hagee, when the Baptist goes to Tim LaHaye, when the Baptist goes to Kirk Cameron, who's not saved, who believes and repents of your sins to be saved, when the Baptist goes to the Australian guy, who's not saved, who does not believe in salvation by work, who does not have the Holy Spirit, yes, you don't get proper doctrine from them. You say, you can't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture because God's not going to pour out His wrath. And I got to ask the question, where do you get that from? Because we just looked at every passage. You know how Pastor Matt studies his Bible? Some of you are like, well, that was a great sermon about the crowns and all the different... I was real interested. I was taking a lot of notes. You know where I got that from? Well, you looked at this... No, you know what I did? Here's how I studied for my Sunday morning sermon. I looked at every reference that had the word crown in it. In the whole entire Bible. All 86 of them. Went through and studied every single one of them. Picked out the ones I needed for my sermon. That's how you study the Bible. You know how you study the Bible? You know, you get your little devotional out. You read your little one verse, and then you read, you know, 15 paragraphs of someone explaining to you what that verse means. What you ought to do is read your King James Bible, let the Holy Spirit explain it to you.
Amen.
Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Come to church, let the preacher teach you. Look, we just looked at every single word. Every time the New Testament uses the word tribulation, and not one time did it mean the wrath of God. So you say, well, what's the problem? The problem is this. We don't believe. Don't let somebody tell you, well, you believe that God's going to pour His wrath on Christians. We don't believe that. We believe that Christians will go through the tribulation. Well, you believe that God's going to... We never said that. Bible never said that. You say, well, what's the tribulation? The definition of the word tribulation is persecution. It's anguish. It's trouble. That's what the word tribulation means. And you got to understand that. Now, you ask, well, how is the tribulation going to unfold? Now, go back to Matthew chapter number 24. And we're going to go back and forth through a few passages here. So go to Matthew chapter number 24. And let me explain a few things to you. First of all, get this pre-tribulation rapture out of your head. I know it's nice to think that you're just going to go to church on Sunday mornings, and you're going to go to work, and you're going to put money in your 401k, and you're going to go on your vacation every year, and you're going to have your 1.5 kids, and you're just going to live great in America, and then one day we're just going to disappear. That sounds nice. But there's a rude awakening, my friend. Go to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. Look at verse number... Let me explain to you the stages of the tribulation. You say, what are the stages of the tribulation? The first stage of the tribulation is this. The end is not yet. You say, what are you talking about? The end is not yet. I personally believe this is the area of the tribulation that we're in. Are you there in Matthew chapter number 24? Look at verse number 5. Look what it says, Matthew 24. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Did you know that there's people today on planet Earth who say that they are Jesus Christ? There's people in South America who say, I'm Jesus Christ. They have thousands of followers. There's people in the Middle East who say, I'm the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. And they've got thousands of followers. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Notice what it says. But the end is not yet. Do you see that? Go to Mark chapter number 13. Mark chapter number 13. Mark chapter number 13. Mark chapter number 13. Look at verse number 5. Mark chapter number 13, and look at verse number 5. Mark 13:5, And keep your finger there in Matthew 24. We're going to be coming back and forth a little bit. Look at verse 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled." You see that? You hear of wars and, hey, don't get troubled, don't get discouraged, don't get upset. He says, "For such things must needs be." But look what he says. "But the end shall not be yet." I'm trying to explain to you how the tribulation is going to unfold. And it's going to unfold, my friend. First of all, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. But hey, don't be troubled. The end is not yet. Go to Luke chapter number 21. Keep your finger there in Mark 13. I know you got five of them, so you can use them. Luke chapter number 21. Well, some of you got five of them. We won't talk about the other one. Luke chapter number 21. Look at verse number 8. Look what it says. Luke chapter number 21. Look at verse number 8. "And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and at that time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." Do you see that? See, what's the first stage of the tribulation? The first stage of the tribulation is this: the end is not yet. And people today get all riled up. And they'll say, "Pastor Jimenez, did you hear that we're fighting in Libya now? Or did you hear about the wars in Afghanistan? Or did you hear about the wars in Iraq?" And they say, "It must be, you know, we must be in the end times." Look, that's just the beginning. According to the Bible, the end is not yet. According to the Bible, the end is not by and by. According to the Bible, the end shall not be yet. That's what the Bible says. Do you see that? So what's the next step? The next step is the beginning of sorrows. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Remember I told you to keep your finger there. You wish you would have listened now. Matthew chapter number 24, look at verse number 7. And I know we looked at these passages before, but I really got to lay down this foundation, or else you're not going to understand the sermon on the Antichrist, okay? Matthew chapter number 24, look at verse number 7. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." Do you see that? So first Jesus said, you know, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." And he says, the end is not yet. But he says, when you actually begin to see nation rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, when you begin to see famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, he says, that's just the beginning. You see that? Look at verse 8. "All these are the beginning of sorrows." Go to, real quickly, Mark chapter number 13. Look at verse number 8. Mark chapter number 13. Look at verse number 8. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." Do you see that? So here are the steps of the tribulation. The end is not yet. And by the way, that's the step we've been in for a long time. You start seeing pestilences, earthquakes, famines. That's just the beginning of sorrows. You say, what's the next step? Go to Matthew 24, look at verse 9. Matthew 24. I'm trying to explain to you what the tribulation is going to be like. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 9. Then, people say, the prophecy is not in chronological order. It pretty much looks like it's in chronological order. It says then. Then means after the last verse. 8, 9. Hopefully you don't have an NIV. The NIV doesn't know how to count. But the King James does. Chapter 9, look at verse 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted." What does that sound like? Persecution. "And shall kill you." That definitely sounds like persecution. "And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Verse 9 says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Okay, so what's the first step of the tribulation? The end is not yet. You hear of wars and rumors of wars. What's the second step of the tribulation? The beginning of sorrows. That's when we begin to see pestilences. That's when we begin to see earthquakes in diverse places. That's when we begin to see nation rise against nation. I believe right now we're somewhere between the end is not yet and the beginning of sorrows. Personally, that's where I believe we're at. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I think that's we're somewhere in between that. The next step is persecution. Go to Mark 13. Look at verse 9. Mark 13. Look at verse 9. Do it quickly so we can move on to other things. But Mark 13. Look at verse 9. "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the council." Do you see that? "And in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for my testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations." Go to Luke chapter number 21. Look at verse number 12. I know we looked at these passages last week. But I want to make sure you understand it. Luke chapter number 21. Look at verse number 12. Luke chapter number 21 and verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. First step, the end is not yet. Second step, beginning of sorrows. Third step, persecution. Fourth step, or letter D, go back to Matthew 24, look at verse 10. What's the next step in the tribulation timeline? Look at verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. When the persecution starts, you know what's going to start happening? Betrayal. People are going to betray one another, and they're going to hate one another. You say, who's going to betray one another? Who's going to hate one another? Go to Mark 13, look at verse 9. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Look at verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought before what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. God gives you some very specific instructions there. He says, when they take you to kill you, they're going to take you before that judge. He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't sit there and premeditate. Oh, I'm going to tell them that I didn't really mean it. He says, look, just let the Holy Spirit deal with it. You just show up and you tell them whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Look at verse 12. Betrayal, right? He said, who's going to betray? Now, the brother shall betray the brother to death. Do you see that? And the father, the son. And children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. Do you see that? And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Look at Luke chapter number 21. Look at verse 16. Luke chapter number 21. Verse 16. Luke chapter number 21 and verse 16. The Bible says, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren, and kinsfolk, and friends, and some of you shall they cause to put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Let me tell you something. The first step to the tribulation is the end is not yet. That's just, you hear of wars and rumors of wars. The second step is the beginning of sorrows, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, nation rising against nation. The third step is persecution. People begin to go to prison. People begin to go to jail. People begin to be put to death. The fourth step is betrayal, though. And let me talk to you about this a little bit. You got to understand something. Our society today is getting ready for the tribulation. It's getting ready for the end times. If you don't see how the government is, it's just all the world's governments are preparing themselves for a one world government. We'll talk about that next week when we talk about the Antichrist. The Bible says that there is coming a one world government, and the Bible says there is coming a one world religion. If you don't see how that's happening, you got to open your eyes. It's called the United Nations. It's called the European Union. Nations are losing their independence and starting to come together because it's coming what's called a new world order. So I thought that was a conspiracy. No, it's in the Bible, my friend. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Could you imagine, because the Bible says, what did it say? It said children will betray their parents to death. Could you imagine that? But you know that our children today are already getting prepared for that? You say, what are you talking about? Go to the public school. You know the public school, you know they take those kids and you know they ask them questions like, do your parents make you? Are there guns in the home? Yeah. Since when was it illegal to have a gun in the home? Are you abused? Are you depressed? And look, you believe me or not, but today, you know that today in America right now, there are children who call CPS on their own parents. And they've been trained. Now look, you think my kids would do that? You think my homeschooled kids, who are at home all day with their mom, who teaches them the Bible and reads them the Bible and pray, you think they're going to get on the phone and say, yes, Child Protective Services? My daddy spanks me. And my daddy, he was preaching once, and he used the word queer. you think my kids are going to do that? But you know what kids are going to do that? The public school kids. You know why? Because they spend more time with their teacher than they do with their mother. And let me tell you something. Our society is being programmed right now to have more allegiance to our government than we have to our own family. It's true. Kids are being taught to snitch on their... You go to public schools and they're here. We'll give you $50 if you tell us which one of your friends are doing drugs. Now look, I'm not for, you know, kids doing drugs, but I'm also not for, you know, establishing a tattletale type mentality. Hey, Hitler did it. You ever heard of the Youth for Hitler? They were taught to not have ties to their family. They were taught to have ties to their government. And in America today, children are being programmed to have ties to their government, to have ties to their teachers, to have ties to the school system, and not to their family. And you say, I'll never think our society will get to the place where a child will betray their parent to death. Yes, it will. It'll come. It's a tribulation. Betrayal. You better wake up. Say, what's the next step? Well, here's what you got to understand, okay? Go to 1 Thessalonians, real quick. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. Now, let me ask you something. Have we, in the verses we've read, what were the descriptions that we got? We got wars and rumors of wars, right? Is that happening today? Has that been happening pretty much since the existence of mankind? Yes, it has, right? We heard of pestilences, that's disease. Are there diseases on earth today? Yeah. Have there been diseases for a long time? Remember the Black Plague? You know, there's been diseases for a long time. Talked about earthquakes. Have there been earthquakes for a long time? Yes, there have. Talked about, you know, nation rising against nation. Has there been nation rising against nation for a long time? Of course there has. Okay? We talked about persecution. Has there been persecution of Christians for a long time? There has been. Go to China today. The Christians in China are being persecuted right now. Go to the Middle East today. You say, well, what's going on? Are you in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5? Look at verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 3, God explains for us how the tribulation is going to happen. And in verse 3, the Bible says, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Look what it says, as travail upon a woman with child. Okay, that's talking about labor. And they shall not escape. God describes the tribulation as a travail upon a woman with child. He describes the tribulation as a woman giving birth. I've never given birth, thank God. But my wife has given birth a few times. And you know, one thing about giving birth is this. The pain starts real mild, doesn't it? But slowly it intensifies. And slowly it gets worse. See, we've had wars and rumors of wars for a long time, but as we get closer to the end times, that's going to intensify. You understand what I'm saying? We've had persecution on planet Earth for a long time, but as we get closer to the tribulation, it's going to intensify. We've had earthquakes in diverse places, and we've had pestilences for a long time, but as we get closer to the tribulation, it's going to get harder, and they're going to get closer together, like those contractions. Remember? Don't you remember, ladies, love that? And wouldn't you just want to be there right now? Look at, you're there in 1 Thessalonians. Go past 2 Thessalonians, go to 2 Timothy. Just the next few books there. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look at verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look at verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Good night. I keep writing down the wrong verses. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Why do I keep doing that? That's not the verse I wanted. Anyway, the verse I wanted to show you was where it talks about how men will wax worse and worse. The Bible says people will get worse and worse. Now, go back to Matthew 24 real quickly. 13, is that what I wanted? I don't know why I keep writing down the wrong passages. I'm really just trying to test you guys. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 13. Is that where it's at? 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 13. There you go. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see that? Go back to Matthew 24. Now, you've got to ask the question. Okay, Pastor, the tribulation is coming. Nation shall rise against nation. We'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, all that. How are we going to know when it's the real thing? Okay, because here's what you got to understand. Do you think when World War II was happening and Hitler was taking over the world, that people thought, we're in the end times and Hitler is the Antichrist? Do you think they thought that? I'm sure they did. You think during World War I, when the whole world was fighting against each other, people thought, we're in the end times? I mean, throughout history, people have assumed that we're in the tribulation, that we're in persecution, that things are hard. But it always seems to not come, but it always seems to get worse every time. You say, well, how will we know, Pastor? How will we know when it's not just a drill and it's actually the tribulation? Go to Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse number 10. Remember, we left off on the betrayals. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come, when ye therefore shall see. Notice, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. You say, what is that? We're going to deal with that in a lot of detail next week when we're talking about the Antichrist, okay? But when ye see therefore the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then, notice what it says. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. You see that? Do you see how it just completely intensified? Up to this point, he was like, it's not yet, not the end yet. Then he's like, it's the beginning of sorrows. Then he says, it's persecution. Then he says, it's betrayal. But notice, when in verse 15 he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. Look at verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation. Do you see that? Now look, has there been tribulation this whole time? We just saw it all throughout the New Testament, right? Paul was going through tribulation. The Christians in Acts were going through tribulation. The people in the New Testament, they were all going through tribulation. But then shall be great tribulation. Look what it says. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time nor ever shall be. When is it the great tribulation? When is it the time that it's never been like that before? It's after this. The abomination of desolation. Spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Go to Mark chapter number 13. Look at verse number 14. But when ye see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, I do not have time to explain that to you. That's going to take an entire sermon in and of itself. We'll deal with it next week, like I said, when we're dealing with the Antichrist. But when ye see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them be in Judea, flee into the mountains. You see that? I mean, he's literally saying, just run into the mountains, don't go back home. He says, let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house. He said, look, you're on the house. I don't know why you've been hanging up on the house anyway. But you're on the house. He said, don't even go back in your house. Neither enter therein. Take anything out. He said, don't even take anything out of it. Let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. He said, don't go back home. Don't go get clothes. He said, don't. He says, just flee. Just run. When you see the abomination of desolation. Look at verse 17. But woe to them that are with child. And to them that get stuck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days, what days? The days after you see the abomination of desolation, shall be affliction. You see that? Such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. You know what that's called? Birth. And that's in that analogy of labor. He said, this is the big one. Go to Luke 21. Luke 21, look at verse number 20. Luke 21. And when you see Jerusalem. Now in Luke, it doesn't tell us about the abomination of desolation. But take this keyword, desolation. Look at it says in verse 20. And when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know ye that the desolation. Do you see that? We'll study that next week. Thereof is nigh. He says, Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, and that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. See, this whole time we have characteristics of the tribulation. Wars and rumors of wars. Nation rising against nation. Pestilences, earthquakes, persecution, betrayal. We have that all now. But when you see the abomination of desolation, that's when you know this is the great tribulation. That's when you say, I'm not going back to work. I'm not going back home. I'm not even going to go get my coat. We're getting in the car, we're going to get lost in the wilderness somewhere. Because that's great tribulation. Now you say, well, what's tribulation? Well, we studied it. What's tribulation? Persecution, trial, afflictions, earthquakes. Is it? Have we seen the wrath of God at all yet? Say, well, what is the wrath of God? Okay, here's the thing. A human being persecuting you is not the wrath of God. Okay? When these winged animals come out of hell that have, you know, tails like scorpions, and bodies like horses, and they're going around stinging and killing people, okay, that's the wrath of God. You understand the difference? And we'll get to that. Earthquake, not the wrath of God. That's happening right now. It's going to get worse and worse and worse till we get to the tribulation. When God makes all the ocean water into blood, that's the wrath of God. When stars begin to fall from heaven and kill people on earth, that's the wrath of God. When the sun turns into darkness and the moon turns into blood, that's the wrath of God. Earthquakes, pestilences, famines, we have that all now. You understand the difference? You say, what's the point of the sermon? The point of the sermon is this. Christians will go through tribulation, but they will not go through the wrath of God. But you will go through tribulation. You will go through persecution. The Bible says, yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
I gotta get done. We have cake and ice cream. I'm gonna leave some of this for another lesson, but let me just show you one more thing. We're done. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 12. Jeremiah in the New Testament, Jeremiah chapter number 12. Next week, this really was kind of a segue into the Antichrist sermon, and next week on the Antichrist, we're going to get in a lot of detail about the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the abomination of desolation, all those things, but you got to understand this, okay? The tribulation is not the wrath of God. The tribulation is persecution, it is earthquakes, it is famines, it is pestilences, it's happening now, it's getting worse and worse. When you see the abomination of desolation, that'll be the worst it's ever been. And Christians will go through the tribulation. Christians will go through persecution. You will not go through the wrath of God. I never said that. But you will go through tribulation. You say, why do you preach sermons like this? Because you got to face it, my friend. Just face it. It's coming. It may happen in our lifetime. But if it doesn't happen in our lifetime, I'm telling you, it'll probably happen in my children's lifetime. It's right around the corner. Are you ready for persecution? Look at Jeremiah chapter number 12. Look at verse number 5. I said all that to say this. I said everything I said was all introduction. Here's the sermon. Say, wow, Pastor, you're getting really bad at that. Jeremiah chapter number 12. Look at verse number 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I love that verse. He says, if you're running with men and you get tired, how are you going to run with horses? And my question for you, Christian, is if you can't make it to church in the United States of America where you have religious liberty, you think you're going to make it to church when there's tribulation? You think you're going to make it to church when there's persecution? You think you're going to make it to church where if you don't have the mark of the beast, they're going to cut your head off? See, in your head, we look at ourselves like heroes. Oh yeah, during the tribulation, I'm going to go, Pastor. I'm going to go order all these things online and all these little meals that you add water to them and we can eat them and we're going to have them and we're going to get guns and we're going to go out. We're going to be ready. Look, you can't even make it to soul winning now. You're going to preach the gospel when persecution comes, when trouble comes. You can't read your Bible now. You think you're going to read it when it's illegal to have a Bible? Look, I'm just trying to get you ready. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how can thou contend with horses? And if thine land, and if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? If you can't talk to your neighbor about the gospel because you're so afraid of your own shadow, how are you going to do it when it's illegal to preach the gospel? How? You know, in China, people go to church, but it's illegal to go to church. When they go to church, it's a full day commitment for one service. You know why? Because they have 30 people show up for church. Here's how they do it. One guy shows up around 5 a.m. Gets in the house. A few hours later, two people show up. Come in the house. A few hours later, one guy shows up. 4 or 5 hours later, maybe three people come in the house. And over a period of like 14 hours, you know, a group of like 20 people show up. And once they're all there, they have church. You know why they got to do it like that? Because they don't have freedom of assembly like we do here. And let me ask you something. You can't show up to Wednesday night church now. And look, if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they weary thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Here's what I'm trying to explain to you. You will go through the tribulation. It is not the wrath of God. And some of you better beef up and toughen up and get some maturity to your Christianity. Because I'm here to tell you something. You're going to be the first one that gets your head chopped off. You say, why? Why would you say that? Because you're not ready. You're weak. You don't have enough temperance. You don't have enough self-control. You let your flesh control you. You let your flesh, you know, whatever your flesh wants to do. I want to go to church today, I'll go to church. My flesh doesn't want to go, I won't go. I want to read the Bible today, I will. My flesh doesn't want to read the Bible, I won't do it. I want to go soul winning today, I'll go soul winning. My flesh doesn't want to do it. You can't control yourself in freedom. How will you do it during the Great Tribulation? I'm trying to warn you, my friend. It's coming. Get ready for it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, sermons like these are not meant to make anybody feel bad. They're just really meant to prepare people. Well, I like the idea of just being raptured out of here and nothing bad will ever happen to us. Well, wake up. The Bible doesn't teach that. I wish we'd get a group of people who say, you know what? When I can do it freely, I'll be in church every time the doors are open. When I can do it freely, I'll read my Bible every day. When I can do it freely, I'll memorize Scripture. When I can do it freely, I'll be like Daniel and get on my knees and pray every day. When I can do it freely, I'll grow in my Christian maturity. And when tribulation comes, I'll be ready for it. I'll learn to run with the footmen, so when the horsemen come, I'm ready to run with them too. Oh, how I wish we'd have a group of people like that tonight who say, I'm going to get spiritually strong. I'm going to get some. I'm going to earn some of those crowns. I'm going to earn me that crown of righteousness, that crown of life. I wonder how many people are going to earn a crown of life during the tribulation. Father, we love you. Thank you for our church. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.